wrote Fearless and how it's helped me name the misogyny factor. Welcome to another episode of It's Her Turn. I'm your host, Dr. Kate Dow, and I'm really glad to be here with you today. I wanted to jump in and start to share a little bit about, a lot of people ask me, well, why did I write my book, Fearless, The Art of Using Anxiety to Your Advantage? And this was a book I wrote actually in 2017. And I had no idea how it was going to kind of take me down a journey of understanding at such a deeper level my own experience with fear and the bigger understanding of how it's, you know, obviously we know it, there's a cultural issue of, you know, women being oppressed in our culture, the idea of misogyny, the idea of the patriarchal, you know, control and sort of disregard of the feminine. But writing a book about it was initially an idea that I wanted so much to share with women beyond who I could see. You know, I had a full practice. I was a single mom of two kids. And I thought, my Lord, I know there's so many women out there who are struggling with anxiety and fear, and it's getting in the way of them living their lives more fully. And whatever that might be for them, it might be their relationship being healthier. It might be, you know, them being able to work on their own well-being and self-esteem, or it might be them being able to start a business that they've always wanted to do. You know, I just knew I wanted to support more women than I could see in my own practice. And I wanted to share what I felt like at that time and over the last, you know, many years was this sort of unique way of talking about anxiety, not as a diagnosis, even though that's very helpful for many people to be able to recognize, like, okay, this is something real that's happening, and that helps them feel like then they can take charge and get the next steps of help that they might need. But for me, it was understanding that there's a whole range of anxiety. And there's many women who don't even realize that they have anxiety. And that was me. I didn't even realize I had anxiety, even though I had chronic kind of, you know, mid to high level anxiety throughout my life. I just didn't have the classic anxiety attacks, or at least not what was known back in the day when I was growing up. And even through my, you know, teens and 20s and 30s, I never quite knew that I had anxiety. And so for me to write the book was to be able to speak to women who, again, may not recognize that anxiety has been part of their life for a long time. And it's part of what was the underbelly of lots of different other issues. So the reason I wrote the book was to reach these women and to share this sort of mind, body, spirit orientation that I'd come to because of my own healing journey. I was always a seeker of health and spirituality and personal growth since I was very young. It just came naturally to me, and I was exposed to it young because at the time that I was, you know, around 10, 11, 12, my mom was having her own awakening. And so we were exploring together, found Kundalini yoga, because I grew up in LA. We found, you know, kinesiology and astrology and iridology and all of the consciousness around holistic health that was blowing up at that time. And that was really helpful. And it supported my own internal sense of how healing happens, right? Even though I was just a kid, I had this very strong sense that, you know, that the way that we lived wasn't necessarily as conscious as we could. You know, I had kind of that awake part of me. So in my journey, you know, I recognized and worked with a lot of different ways. You know, I started into grad school for psychology pretty young. I was probably about 24 when I entered grad school. And that was also a really particular choice to go to a school that was humanistic, psychology based. And so it had a broader, more open perspective of a human being, right? A little more like Carl Rogers, right? Human-centered, and you know, Virginia Satir, and some of those areas of psychology that really started to go to those edges of, you know, this isn't just about pathology and, you know, getting the right intervention and getting somebody well. It was understanding the whole human being in their whole lives. And so that was really, I think, between that and the spiritual traditions that I started studying with Tantra and with, you know, Buddhism. I was very early studying a lot of Pema Chodron's work in the 90s, and along with other aspects of learning that supported this idea of helping people become more self-aware and get to know themselves, letting them be the experts of their own lives, and supporting them in developing access to their own inner knowing and applying tools and skills that will help them be able to take care of themselves, right? So that was kind of always part of my orientation as a psychologist was, you know, I'm not here to fix you. I'm here to help you become more of who you are and step into your empowerment as a woman to do the things that will support you, that will help you heal. And of course, trauma is a big part of that, our own psychological experience. And how do we recover from those challenges and traumas and adversities? And so that was, you know, my way of bringing together mind, body, spirit into the healing room, right? Into the therapy room. So writing the book was a way to share a lot of these teachings and practices that had been very meaningful and powerful for me and for my clients that I was, you know, sharing this with and bringing into the room as part of our, you know, therapeutic healing dynamic. And that felt very empowering. And through the years, as it became more, especially in the last 10, I would say, as it became more supported in the even the mind-body research, right? We get science on board and then suddenly everybody's like, oh my gosh, yeah, meditation, it's really helpful. And mindfulness and embodiment, right? We have the most recent edge of trauma work, acknowledging the importance of embodiment and somatic work to help us work through and release and shift and transform, you know, deep trauma. And that's just been part of my work forever. So it's pretty exciting to see everything kind of validating the areas that I've been feeling a little bit like an outlier for a long time. And the feedback I get from women who find the book, who love the book is, oh, thank you, not only for, you know, giving me this perspective and this permission to look at things more holistically, but also here's some practices. And you know, this is a handbook. This isn't a one and done read. Like, come back to it, focus on one area, like becoming the queen of your mind, and really take your time and really know and begin to integrate some of these ways of becoming aware of that, you know, witness consciousness, for example, to develop that mindfulness. So that's been amazing. The surprise for me was that when I wrote the book, because I was being guided to, you know, talk about it from this sort of bigger picture, it helped me start to see things that I hadn't seen in my own personal life and even in the context of my family, starting to understand and know that, you know, more than not, are as women and human beings, our own anxiety is not just ours. There's this context of our family, of our matrilineal lineage, or even our father's lineage that brings a lot of that energetic, that, you know, mental health pattern and DNA down, right down to us. And so that was really powerful to, I'd seen it and I'd done that with my clients, but I'd never really taken it even broader and said, you know, this is a cultural issue. And I know I'm not the only one out there talking about this, but, you know, when I grew up, my mom never talked about feminism. It was like, it was, you know, oh, we're good. You know, we can wear what we want. We can go to work. And so there was no discussion about understanding the underbelly of patriarchy that was still very much alive. And so I grew up with my own inner experience of feeling afraid, of feeling judged, of feeling objectified, of feeling put down as a girl, of, you know, just all the different ways that I felt rejected or sort of told I wasn't good enough or felt that. And my mom, that wasn't something that we could really talk about or share because of just who she was. And later, of course, I unveiled that there was a lot of trauma my mom had gone through and never dealt with, as was the case for her mother and her mother's mother, you know, going back in the lineage. And so there was that way of women functioning, which was, hey, it's good now, let's just keep moving forward. There wasn't really the consciousness or the understanding of healing that past trauma or recognizing that lineage was a part of your personal experience now and that it is connected. And then we have the collective. Then we have the collective of all the women with their lineages of fear, anxiety, trauma that, you know, all over the planet. And that becomes huge when we recognize the vibration of fear with women and that this is a cultural issue, of course, you know, on one level in these states, because the United States has its own particular way of that showing up. And of course, but across the globe, that way that women have been held back, abused, disempowered, disenfranchised, you know, that's been a kind of a given across all cultures. Maybe there's certain times and little pockets where women, you know, of course, back in the goddess days, right? The world was very different. Men and women were seen and known and, you know, experienced as equal human beings. So that was what was so powerful for me, because as I started to write my book, Fearless, I was recognizing that it was so important to keep naming that larger context so that young girls and women who were reading this book, who may not have ever had this perspective, could try it on and see if it fit for them. And I think back and I go, wow, what would I have done if somebody had said, oh yeah, you know, you might be feeling low self-worth, low self-esteem, self-judgment, self-loathing about your body, because this is sort of the messaging that's happening, even if nobody's saying it to you. And that would have been so significant for me to not feel isolated and alone in my own drama about not feeling okay as a young girl, to help girls recognize that the crazy thinking we start to believe about our not okayness is very much not ours often. It's coming from our culture. It's coming from this media, especially social media. It's coming from our parents and their unspoken traumas that they haven't faced. And we're becoming the messenger of that. And anxiety becomes the messenger of that. And so my book is about sort of naming that context so that we can say, oh, misogyny, whether it's named or not, is very much alive if you're a woman, because you will feel it in one way or another, whether it's at a job. I can't tell you how many college teachers, even in high school, you know, women being so mean, women teachers being so cruel to me for no reason. And I believe that's part of that misogyny, right? That's that inner patriarchal misogyny that women take on, to be hard on women around them, on girls around them, because that's what happened to them. And that critical eye towards girls and women. And so then we grow up in that, from teachers to, you know, family members and their judgment to our social, you know, relationships and experiences of rejection we might feel, especially when you're in middle school, right? Like everybody gets judged and criticized. And then you go to college and you think, oh, I'm free of it. No, you're not. Now you're living in another version of that misogyny that gets played out with professors or, you know, young men on the campus who think they have a right to cross your boundaries, right? And treat you like a sexual object. And the policies in place that might protect them if something does happen. And this is the kind of messaging we get. Again, whether it's spoken or it's unspoken, we all experience it. And this is part of having, I think, some deeper compassion for ourselves and recognizing our personal struggles are not just ours, that they're part of the system. It's part of the collective that we as women are all trying to get through and to you know, sort of break the silence, like the Me Too movement, to break the bubble, whether that's like trying to move up in a glass ceiling corporation, but it's at a personal level too, just trying to feel okay about yourself. And especially now, to find how do we be okay with ourselves in a world that's very uncertain and kind of wieldy, you know? And this is the time that I want women to feel like they have that perspective. They can recognize those different larger contexts that are impacting you and your own personal experience of fear of anxiety and anxiety, because that just, I think, is a big part of us not feeling so alone. And it's also important because it's how I started to feel more empowered to face my fears, right? It's when you recognize it's not like something wrong with you, but it's something that's trying to get your attention, and that's part of our healing work that we can do, then anxiety becomes the messenger. And, you know, we know that women all over the planet are struggling with anxiety. So I hope this messaging is supportive to let you know that recognizing the bigger picture isn't to feel like, oh my gosh, you know, it's such a huge issue. Now I've got to go take care of it for everybody. No, you take care of you. You start showing up for you and your anxiety and start to learn what it's calling you for, right? What is it saying? Hey, pay attention. Come do that inner work. Come do that inner healing so that you can be more awake, you can be more empowered, and you can start to, when you feel ready, to help others in whatever way that might be. My sort of, you know, way of speaking to it is, you know, working with our anxiety is learning about finding our voice, owning our truth, and claiming our power. And if you've seen my TEDx talk, I share about my experiences of feeling, you know, traumatized from different situations and recognizing that, you know, even in those challenges, we have choices to say, what do we need to do for ourselves next? What's the very next little step? And it's the same with anxiety, right? I've worked with people who had, you know, incredibly hard anxiety. And for them, those tiny steps were to just start recognizing when they were more anxious and what were the self-care choices they could make that would support them. So there's obviously lots of different ways to work with anxiety, but doing it from a holistic way for me was very important because I didn't ever fully believe in the pathological view that psychology likes to use. I think it's helpful to a point to recognize where we're struggling as human beings. But again, I don't believe in that diagnostic model because it's disenfranchising, really. And instead of recognizing that, you know, we've all been through difficulties and we can come through them. So with that, I just want to say I hope that this was helpful to kind of call out, to name that misogyny, to name that context in whatever way you've experienced it, and to give you the invitation to recognize, to think back and wonder how those messages impacted you so that you can do that work now, right? Because it's your turn, right? To find your voice, own your truth, and claim your power. Thank you for joining me today. And if you are enjoying and liking what I'm doing, go ahead and subscribe, give me a review, share it with people that you know that might benefit from hearing this point of view of anxiety and how we as women are in a really powerful time of awakening and empowering. So many blessings. Thank you for joining me.